So we're in Revelation 9, and just do a quick summary real quick is chapter 1 of Revelation was John receives the vision of the risen Christ, and he stands among the seven lampstands. That represents his presence amongst the seven churches, right? He's alive and active. He's fully working in our lives today. Chapter 2-3, Jesus addresses the seven churches in Asia, giving encouragement, correction, even discipline or what is to come. So there's promises to those who overcome. I think that's important because the walk that we walk and the life that we're living, there's these promises that if we stay focused on him, that it's not going to fall short, right? There's things that he's going to do in our life. And then it goes on in chapter 4-5 that John's actually caught up in heaven. That's where things get a little trippy because you're seeing from a human's perspective, heaven. He's trying to describe it the best he can. And he sees God on his throne. And just, could you imagine what that would be like? Like that that would be amazing. It would be hard, but he also sees Jesus, the Lamb, and Jesus is the one that's opened these scrolls. And that's where we got to wrap our head around, because these scrolls and these seals that are being opened, these are the judgments, and it's Jesus Christ, the only one that can open them. So we think about that. God is allowing these things to come. And so chapter 6-8 is as he's the Lamb, Jesus Christ has opened the seals. Judgment begins to unfold. This is the seriousness of what's going to happen. War, famine, death, cosmic signs, right? And so we see all these different things. And the seventh seal that leads into the sounding of the seven trumpets, bringing more plagues. And it brings a warning to earth. And so that's where we arrive at like chapter 9 today, is we're at the fifth and sixth trumpets and they're being sounded. And this is unleashing terrifying judgments. Okay. And so we're going to start with that. And The Reckoning is a movie that's older. It didn't get a lot of reviews that were great, but we loved it. My wife and I, we thought it was a really good representation of what it's like talking through what's about to happen. Okay. We watched it too. And it was powerful because what was your response at the end? It was emotional, wasn't it? And I didn't know. And Caden, I looked over at him and I know my boy and I saw sadness and he don't weep often. I mean, he's a manly man, but he just broke down. He broke down and we just hugged and we talked because he saw. And I think the Holy Spirit, I said, the Holy Spirit moved in you to see the importance of what it's like to share the gospel for those lost, because we don't want people to be left behind to go through what this is happening. But we know that what God is doing is to bring people to him, right? And so that's so important. And so can someone read chapter 9, verses 1-12? Awesome. Thank you so much. So that's a lot, isn't it? That is a lot to take in and a lot to look at. But think about this. So these locusts, these things that sting like scorpions are coming to torment, not to kill, to torment. And who are they tormenting? The ones that don't have a seal, right? And so if we look at what the Word of God says, and it talks about when we're in Christ, we're sealed, we're marked, right? So there's a blessing in this. Amongst what Christ's blood's covering us, we are sealed. We're inheriting the kingdom of God through the righteous Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So these are the ones that are left behind that don't have the seal, don't have this marking, and they're going to sting like a scorpion sting. I've never been stung by a scorpion, but I can imagine just the look of a scorpion, kind of creepy, right? They're intimidating, but the poison that goes in, I've heard it hurts. Like I heard it's real painful, but it's not killing them, right? And so 5 months of this torment. And so if we go back and we look at the scripture, it talks about this fallen star. And a lot of people and theologians will say different things. You know, some will think it's like some sort of demonic spirit coming, or it's an angel coming. There's so many different beliefs, but the way I look at it is it's possible for it to be a fallen angel, or the equivalent of a symbol of judgment. Okay. But this individual or this thing has been given a key to go down to the abyss. All right. And so he unlocks the prison of evil forces. Doesn't this sound like we're reading something that you would buy at Barnes & Noble? this is what's going to happen. This is what God's going to do. He's going to send this angel being or this fallen angel or this symbol of judgment with a key to unlock these forces. And what's crazy about this is it makes reference to when this is going to happen, okay? And one of the keys that we look at is it talks about the Euphrates River drying up, okay? So this entrance is supposedly beneath the Euphrates River. Well, some people believe that's just a symbolic reference or whatnot. However, if we look at the news and you Google Euphrates River, what does it say? It's drying up. That it's losing so much water, and by the year 2026 or 27, that it could potentially be completely dried up. Okay? Now, don't take heed to that, but look what the Bible says. Keep track, keep record of what it says, and we'll see what happens. But the smoke that comes from this darkens the sky, and these locust-like creatures, some people, the debate, like when they shoot, they sting like a scorpion. John didn't understand of technology and things that were happening today. And he described it like a scorpion. And some people believe it's like bullets flying. But who knows? But we're going to take it for what it looks like. If he says it's a locust-like creature that emerges and it's coming, it's going to torment. It's not going to kill people, but it's going to torment people for 5 months. We have to look. God's timing is impeccable. That means without sin. God's timing is always on time. Why would God sit here and allow 5 months of torture? What do you think God, the reasoning for this? Amongst pain, there usually comes repentance, right? How many people have been at such rock bottom in the midst of the pain of their lives that Jesus is standing there saying, come to me, right? So God is using this torment to actually draw people out from this. And so if we look at the king, this King Apollyon or Abaddon, means destroyer. Like, this is the big dog that's being released. That shows you a hierarchy of demonic spiritual forces that God has established, right, to serve certain purposes. So this is the picture of demonic authority. This is going to be the guy that released and the destroyer is going to be out. So think about this. Think about how creepy this is going to look if you're left behind and that you're waiting for Christ to come back and you see the skies full of darkness, that you hear chariot sounds like horses coming in and it's this locust-like creature that's coming to torment you. Think about what life is going to look like. But think about these people who are positioning themselves by their own hardened hearts to experience this. They don't have to. They don't have to. God's given us every opportunity. And so this isn't just poetic horror, right? This is actually a symbolic of spiritual torment. Think about what we go through today. Think about what God is doing. He's always drawing us to Him. We reject this. And think about the spiritual torments that we're experiencing because of us wanting to be apart from Him, right? So God's permitting this evil to reveal its true nature, right? This true nature of what evil is. Because if you look at the spiritual decay of good and bad, right? It's torment. It's deception. Right? That's all sin is torment, deception, and it's designed to destroy and kill, right? It leads to death. So there's nothing truly that's happening coming in to what is truly happening today. God's sending these judgments because He's God, where we're putting ourselves to be judged by what we do and what we reject of Him. And so those without God's seal, which if for us, why did Jesus have to leave? To go and prepare a place. But also, who came because Jesus left? The Holy Spirit, right? That is the sealing on us. When we repent and believe, God not only sent His Son to die on the cross for us, but He drawn His Son back to heaven to prepare a place for us, and He sends the Holy Spirit to indwell within us, which seals us, which makes us God's property. Does that make sense? And so that's a powerful thing. So He permits this evil to happen. So those without the Spirit suffer under this oppression, right? And so God restrains evil for this exact moment. He's restraining it. So today, he's restraining it. These things are not allowed to happen until the Lamb starts opening these seals. God is a God of order. And so he also restrains evil in the midst of judgment, because he says to these evil creatures, you can torment. These locusts are not allowed to kill. They can only torment. What story in the Bible does that sound like? Job. The devil was up there trying to have a conversation with God, saying this and this and this and this. And then God said, you can do anything you want to him, but you cannot kill him. And so what did the devil do? Inflicted disease, famine, took his family, you know. But he didn't take his wife. Why? Because God said you can't kill him. And guess what she is? Two become one. So the devil couldn't touch her either. You know, and so when we look at this, the question here is why? So for all of us sitting here today, have you ever felt agony? We have, right? We've felt agony. Have we felt spiritual emptiness at times? Yes, we have. And so the sting, this is the sting of sin's consequences. Because what does the Bible say that we should be full of in Christ? Joy. Peace. It's when we step away and we try to take back the ownership of we becoming a God, right? We're watching the house of David, and we see, and Saul has been conflicted with this tormenting spirit that God sent to him. Why? Why? Because he wouldn't repent. He wouldn't relinquish a kingdom that he thought was his. Right? And so you're hanging on to something and it's not what God has anointed, then guess what happened? Creates torment. All Saul had to do was repent, relinquish this and repent. And so in the midst of this, we know that the sting of sin's consequences is painful. It hurts, it damages, it destroys, it kills, it steals, it all the above. But this is also a wake-up call from God, is that his mercy is extended. Even in the midst of judgment, like, his mercy is extended. And I love that, because that shows us, too, if you're a good parent and you're disciplining your child, the discipline has to happen, but you're also going to forgive the child for their ill behavior or whatever led up to the discipline, right? You're not going to hate your child because you had a discipline. Okay? So there's mercy amongst parenting, to give mercy to a child just as God gives mercy to us, even in the midst of his judgments. That shows us a long, long, long-suffering, loving God. And so will someone read verses 13 through 21 for me? That's good. So there's so much in these verses, right? Let's start with what we were talking. Four angels bound at Euphrates, okay? They're released. So this is the symbolization of that sense of restrained judgment. God's restraining. He's holding these things back, but now they're unleashed. This promise of not death and not the tormenting, it's changing now. This is where it gets ugly. So now with these angels released, the Euphrates River is the source of what we're looking at, a vast army of 200 million. That's a lot. Brings death to a third of humanity. Yeah. It's intense. And I think it's going to be much worse than any human war that we think. But also, if we're decreasing by a third, it's what we talked about previously. If Jesus is a shepherd, then what do you do with your sheep? You corral them, right? You corral them. And it makes sense too, is yes, we have technology in these phones. And it's funny how the Bible says when the trumpet blares. Have you ever had emergency alert come off on your phone and you've been in a room with everyone? What's it sound like? Think about this. This might be the source of that trumpet blare, not an angel in the sky going, right? On everyone has a phone. And guess what? That immediate picture of Jesus in the sky is going to be broadcast everywhere. There's actually ministries that are putting satellites up into space just for that moment. That's wild to think about. And so a third of humanity is going to be gone. And so it's wild, these descriptions of these writers. It's vivid, it's strange, and it's actually difficult and even terrifying. So plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur from their mouth? What? That's scary. But we also have to look back too, as biblically we look at angels as being this beautiful, magnificent creature. But why is everyone terrified when they're approached? I think it's Ezekiel gives us good insight of what, you know, angels can look like. Contraptions, devices, things that were like, what? And so overall, we can go into exact details and try to pick it apart. But the reflection of what we just read is the fact that this is the picture of divine judgment. What God's doing is still just, because why? Is God measuring out the justice, not us, right? For us, we say, that's not fair. That many people die. That's not fair, God. But not all are killed. Why? Because God still desires people to come to repentance. Repentance is the key. Believe, right? Believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. But we see, like last night, altered, how many people truly repented. That's changing the way, going one way to God's way, right? But there's so many people still wanting to live as the world wants us to live. But God still desires repentance. So the chapter ends with a very haunting line. It says, the rest of mankind still did not repent. Think about this. God is doing this with hopes that everyone comes to repentance. But he also knows that this time and time and stage, if you made it this far and you haven't believed in God, it's not happening. It's not happening. And so even in the face of all this suffering and destruction, what did people do? It says they clung on to idols. They clung on to sorcery. They clung on to immorality. They were hanging on to this violence. So we think of violence today. This looks nothing like what's going to happen in Revelation. You know, and we'll read more about what happens with the two witnesses' bodies. We just see it. And so what we're seeing today is the desensitization of all this stuff. Because you go on a TikTok and it's all these murder things and murder that and this and that and this and this. And all these things are getting so exposed, and then just pure evil. It's getting integrated into what our children are watching. The devil's doing what he's doing. And it's sad, because that, in the midst of all this, it's still true today that when we face rough suffering, people today still lead to self-destructive behaviors. I want to do anything to distract myself, but other than repenting, right? I want to do drugs. I'm going to drink alcohol. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to become my own God. I'm going to create these idols. I'm going to hang on to this sorcery. And the word sorcery here is not bibbidi-bobbidi-bibbidi-boo. No, that's Disney stuff. The word sorcery here is actually broken down to the word pharma. So guess what? There's going to be a generation of people that are just strung out and hung out, set up on medications. They're under the influence of this medication. Because, man, I'm not saying medication's bad, don't hear me, but how many people use medication that's meant to take away an ailment to abuse it for its numbing effects, right? That's sorcery. At that point, you're under the influence of something that your mind is not fully capable to be focused on the Lord. So that's sorcery. And then immorality. And these are all things that we experience in the day. It's just going to be in a grander scale. So what does this mean for us? As we close this chapter, judgment's real. Everyone is going to face judgment, but so mercy is real as well. We can leave there with hope that God's justice is not just a cruelty-based effort. It's a holy response to evil. Hear that? It's a holy response to evil. But he restrains it, and he gives warning, sends signs, and urges repentance. He urges repentance. All of us here fall short. All of us here have moments and parts of our lives that we need to repent of. You know, last night I was having a conversation with someone and they were like, you know, I like when I can get in my prayer room with God because then I can just tell him everything. So when you go to church, you're just being fake? This should be a place that we can share everything with each other. Not just the good, or not just the watered down sin, but everything. He does.
Well, there's something you need
to
share.
What he wants is he wants you to share it with others.
Yeah. Because he does know. He knows everything about your heart. No one. David says that well, doesn't he? He says that you can't even hide in Sheol, right? So there's no place that you can hide from God. But what do you think, where's the power in us sharing our sin with other people? Okay, so do you think God would sit there and say it's okay to sin? No, right? But it is okay to come to community and process what you're where you're stuck at in sinning, right? Because when we walk as Christians, we should never be okay with sin. That should be the chain that should be broken. We should never be okay with sin. And so what we need to do is come together as community. Because what does sin do, Toby? So think about this. Let's say you have a gambling issue, like you struggle with gambling, and that you you start spending $100 here and $100 more and $100 more, and the next thing you know that it's like completely engulfed your whole finances. Yeah. And so you're just keeping it quiet because you're isolating away from that good stewardship of money. And it's eating you alive. And then you come in here and your family's being impacted because food's not being prepared. All these different things. Your energy bill's going to be cut off. Guess what that happens? Is that the devil's isolating you away in that sinful nature. And that leads to death, right? It's going to be the death of your family, the death of whatever it may happen. Eventually, it can lead to your own physical death. And so the importance of sharing our sin is we're being real and vulnerable. Like Toby said, we're not perfect. But how many people walk in on Sunday? Because I think it's 2 Timothy. Jesus tells us in the end times people to avoid. You ready for this? You know who we should avoid? Religious people. People that have godliness but deny its power. People that walk into church thinking they got it licked. Jesus tells us to deny those things. He also gives us the counter. How do we not become that person? How do we not become that religious person? Well, Jesus tells us, fast, pray, and give. That all positions your hearts, right? And that's where community comes in. So think about this. We all sin, right? We're not freed from sin. But this should be a place that we say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with gambling. I thought it was something. I started gambling because I thought I could get ahead, and I really was thinking that I could catch up, but I'm so far behind, I don't know how to stop. Right? Well, here's the deal. Is us as a family, a unity, Toby, look, this is not real, so this is on the podcast. But, so, Toby, look, how far are you behind? Okay?
Well, I need $5
But...
And I knew then I had to stop because I have a very addictive person.
Well, good. Amen.
I went right back in there and got me 2 water.
But, oh, okay, you're $1,400 behind. Okay. All right. Well, we come together, but look, we're going to do this for you, but we're going to have accountability. So if you really want help, what we're going to see is we want to see bank statements. We want to know where your money's going. Accountability, right? Hold you accountable. Not because we're being nosy. That's not the point. What we're trying to do is help you be a good steward of your money. Now, since you confess that you're struggling with this sin, we can come together and help you get out of this hole. Not sit there and like, oh, Toby put herself in a hole. Let's just let her burn. No, we should pull you out. But we're also going to have increased accountability to make sure you don't get back there again. Bake sale. Support Toby's gambling fund. So if we close today, we look at judgment's real, mercy's real. Spiritual warfare is ongoing, right? And so Revelation 9 really peels back the curtain to show what's behind the scenes, the events that are going to happen. It's mind-blowing. Like, we cannot fathom truly what we just read, right? We can't understand. And so the battle's not just physical, it's spiritual. And that's where we have to look. Are you sealed by God? Shelton said it last night. Are you a true follower or are you just a believer? There's a difference. But are you protected by Christ? Or is he going to say, I never knew you? That's a scary place to be. And this is not here to condemn anybody. This is here to sit there and say, this is warning that I hope that you have communion and an intimate relationship with your Savior that you confess that you know. Don't just show up on Sunday, walk into a church and grab your pew you sat in 25 years and you've never lifted a finger, you've never prayed, fasted, or give. And when we say give, I don't want you to think just monetarily. I want you to give your life to Christ. When it says give, I want you to give yourself as a living sacrifice, just like Christ did.
I've never fasted.
Well, we can go into the debates of what, like, if a fast is super important, which I believe it is. Because what is a fast? Is it just not eating? No. Yes. But when we look at today's fast, and people sit there and say, I fasted from my phone, I fasted from this, I fasted from that. What did Jesus do? He fasted from food, right? He fasted. He was in the wilderness. He gave up that, which was pretty intense, to where we give up these superficial things and call it a fast. Look, God, look what I'm doing for you. No, give your everything. And that's between you and God. If it's 2 hours, it's 4 hours, it's 24 hours. If it's 40 days and 40 nights, make sure you have a doctor. Make sure you're not going to kill yourself, because people have done that. They've died doing a 40-day fast. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, the Bible says don't be that person that fasts and looks disheveled and all pitiful either. Fasting is something you should be doing in private, right? That's between you and the Lord. So don't come in here, what's wrong with you? I haven't eaten in 40 days, 40 nights. No, that's between you and the Lord. Get closer to God. That's the purpose. You're climbing that mountain as you fast. You're dependent upon God. So the last part of this is don't wait to repent. What would that look like, that you lived a life for Christ your whole life, or wherever point you repented and believed, that's been all Christ at that point? Think about how much God could use you and what good you can do, how many people you can reach, versus the last person like that just waits before his deathbed. I want to live my life for Christ. And I'm thankful. I wish I grew up in church. I wish this was something that I found earlier in life and that God drew me to earlier. But the scariest part about Revelation 9 isn't the locusts or the plagues. It's the hardness of human hearts. That's the scariest thing about Revelation 9. So when God calls you, will you answer? Don't be among those who still do not repent. Think about this. And so chapter 9 seems like it's meant to terrify, but it's not. It's not the goal of chapter 9. It's a call to urgency. It's a call to hope. Okay? So we're reading through this. Yes, it's terrifying. So even when the abyss opens, God's still in control. Think about this. God's still in control. Even when evil is unleashed, God places limits. And even when judgment falls, mercy remains. For now. There's going to be a time that mercy runs out and God will end it all. And so let us take the time that we have to live with these eyes that are open, hearts that are softened, and lives that are sealed by the Lamb. And what can we do with this? We see it. You know, we're blessed to have this ministry. Small and mighty is what we say, right? Small and mighty. But if you see people that come through those doors and see people that come to altar testimony night, this is right now, this is for us. You know, this is a blessing. This is for us. And I think this is for us because we need a place to come back to Him after we do things like we did last night.